What greater cause could we hope to serve than helping keep America the strong, aspiring, inspirational beacon of liberty and defender of the dignity of all human beings and their right to freedom and equal justice? That is the cause that binds us and is so much more powerful and worthy than the small differences that divide us. What a great honor and extraordinary opportunity it is to serve in this body. It's a privilege to serve with all of you. I mean it.
What a powerful moment that was yesterday. Senator John McCain going to the Senate floor for the first time after being diagnosed with an incurable brain cancer, sending this message of, you know, we have such a responsibility and an opportunity as members of the Senate to do good work for the American people. And sometimes it takes taking a step back and realizing that we're not going to live forever, that, you know, we have these moments in life where we can really make a difference. And we've got a great guest on now, Dean Niewolny, who's author of Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. Dean, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Abby.
And I played that clip from Senator John McCain because, I mean, you focus on people that make money and making a difference. But this really, you can talk about any sort of profession and any industry where people are wanting to make that difference. And I think you have Senator John McCain who's realizing now, look, I may have far less time than I thought.
Yeah.
And it really makes you rethink the purpose that you want to have in this life. And that's really what your book is about, is helping people focus on that.
It is. It is. And when you listen to that tape, it's incredible the passion he has. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges for a lot of people is they don't know what their passion is. But you could tell listening to Senator McCain, wow, he's really passionate about what he believes. So the organization that I represent, the Halftime Institute, that's what we help people with, really trying to figure out what are they passionate about and helping them serve in that area.
And that could be at any age. I mean, we were talking in the commercial break about Sean Spicer, who's now leaving the White House, has resigned.
Yeah.
And now he has to figure out, what do I want to do from here? You know, what difference do I want to make? So you could be 12 years old, you could be 30, you could be 80 years old.
That's
like John McCain, and you have to figure out what that passion is. How do you how do you help people find that passion?
Well, first of all, just to touch on what you just said, Sean Spicer is surely in a season of what we call smoldering discontent. He's probably trying to figure out what's the next season for him. And you're right. We have millennials, kids. I call them kids. My daughter's young, so in their 20s, and folks as old as 87 going through our program, really trying to figure out what's next for them. So, Abby, we really encourage people to take a step back and reflect on really what are their strengths, what are their passions, what are their gifts. But really, we encourage them to turn on their dreamers. What do you love to do that could serve in your area of passion? So it may be children. So a quick example, real quick, is we had a gentleman go through the program. We said, I'm not passionate about anything. And we asked him to read the USA Today for a week and asked him, what makes you mad? What makes you sad? What makes you glad? At the end of the week, he said, Dean, this exercise doesn't work. All I did was read the sports section for the whole week. But that's his passion. He's passionate about sports.
He just didn't realize it.
He didn't realize it. He started an inner city nonprofit for children.
That's really such an interesting idea, because a lot of people just can't pinpoint what it is. And I talked to a lot of my friends who are still figuring it out. And then they blame themselves. Well, what if I don't have a passion? What if I don't know what I want to do? What if I can't figure out a way to make a difference in this world?
Well, the beauty of what you just said is that they're thinking about it. Most people don't think about it, and then they get to the end of their life, and they look back and say, what is the legacy? What impact did I have? What difference did I make? And there's a lot of regrets if you don't take the time to do it. But as you mentioned, your friends are doing that.
What is the main reason why people don't? Why they're not, like, you think about, like, the most successful people out there. Some of them, their immediate thought is, I want to go give my money back to help other people. I mean, my grandpa, someone is a role model of mine, and he said, if I ever make it in life, which he was lucky enough to do with the chemical company, I'm going to give all that money to find a cure for cancer. And he has luckily been able to do that, and I'm so grateful for him. And there's so many other individuals that have done that, but there are also many that make that money. I mean, I think a lot of people in the tech world, where it's just, it doesn't cross their mind. They're thinking, I want this money for myself.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a Gallup poll that says 80% of folks that go into work feel they're doing something that has no meaning.
Only 20, I believe it.
One in five feel they have work that's meaningful. So I believe folks are so focused on the American dream and making money and accumulating possessions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, that will get to a point of being empty, and they'll enter this smoldering discontent season like I did. And I talk about this in Trade Up, that you have to take time to assess and stop and assess your gifts and talents and abilities and passions. And nobody really, not nobody, but many do not do that. Because it does take time. It is effort. It is hard work.
You mentioned the word before we brought you on here, legacy.
Hmm.
I think that's such an important one that we often don't think about. I mean, we can talk about John McCain again as someone who's now thinking about that. What is my legacy going to be? I'm not going to be around here potentially for very much longer. Is that helpful for people in figuring out what their passion is or how they want to get back?
I think so, because in Chapter 5 of Trade Up, we talk about start with the end in mind. And we do an exercise called the 80th birthday party. And I was 46 when I did this exercise in the 80th birthday
party. You celebrated your 80th birthday party when you were 46?
That's right.
That's so interesting because you don't think about how you're going to be at that age.
That's exactly right. But when we do that exercise, it's amazing the reactions that we get. And it goes like this. Your spouse or friend invites you to a restaurant. 100 of your friends are standing there, and there's a microphone in front of the room. They walk up to the microphone. And they answer this question: what is the most significant impact you had on humanity? Is, and you know, for me, I was thinking to myself when I went through that exercise, I was having no impact on humanity. I was making no difference. It was really a focus on myself. So a lot of people, when they get to 80 years old, they think back like, wow, did I really make an impact? Did I make a difference? So it's important at an early age to start thinking about what is the legacy you're going to leave. What legacy are you going to leave for your children?
Right.
Right? What difference are you going to make? Because you don't want to get to the 80th birthday and people walk up to the microphone and say, well, I don't have anything to say about you, Dean.
Right. And you also don't want to get to a place where you don't listen to people. Do you find as people get older, they're more and more stubborn and less likely to open up their mind to maybe some of the advice you're giving them?
Oh, for sure. I think in a lot of cases, we are type A personalities where we think we know everything and we're very controlling. But it is so critically important to have a mentor or a coach. Hmm. At the Halftime Institute, we always assign a coach that has been on the journey, that understands it, that has seen the highs and lows and can encourage. So it's critically important to be coachable, right? Have a coach and be coachable. It's a waste of time if you have a coach and you're not going to listen. So it is really important to have that.
That makes me think about President Trump because there, and people laugh. They say one of the great things is he is stubborn and he's not going to back down. And that's a lot of the reason many Republicans got out to vote for him, because they felt like finally they had a fighter, someone that was standing up for them. Mm-hmm. And there are many moments where he speaks and I'm thinking, this man is so patriotic and he is so proud of this country. Mm-hmm. And he's delivering this message that I think is so needed after, you know, you had 8 years, you know, like or not like former President Obama, but he had a different strategy and sort of pulled back. And President Trump's been different in that sense. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he'll also do things, and you wonder, is there anyone that's giving him that advice? Is there anyone that he would listen to?
Yeah, you know, President Trump has made an incredible transition from the marketplace really into the nonprofit world, and there is a learning curve. And one of the things that we need to do when we do that is we have to be open to coaching and guidance and advice. And I'm not here to advise our president, but I would suggest that he might want to do more of that. But there's what we call a sigmoid curve with anything that starts new. You dip down and you go through a time of learning and exploring and really trying to get your footing. And I feel that's the season that he's in right now. Now, the typical sigmoid curve goes down, but then it goes up to the right. And my hope for President Trump and our country is for it to begin to go up to the right. And I think it's starting to do that.
Also for Democrats, too, though. You
Absolutely.
Know, I mean, a lot of them that are not even willing to give an inch.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, it goes, you know, you could say both sides are to blame for that. But right now, it does seem like Democrats are wanting this country to fail because they want President Trump to fail. They want their party to win again. And at what point do you say, you know, the country's more important than party? I mean, I think that goes back to your whole message of doing the best we can for other people.
Yeah, it really is. I think when you begin focusing on other people instead of yourself, good things happen. And I think we need to start doing that. We have to unite.
I think it's a great message. So what advice do you have for people of all ages that are still figuring out their passion, or maybe they thought they had it and they're not feeling that inspiration when they walk in the door for work every day, as you were saying?
Yeah, I really suggest, you know, just take a time really in solitude and quiet to just think through where are you at in life and where do you want to go. I would do the 80th birthday party and think through what do you want people to walk up to that microphone and say, because it doesn't matter. The millennials right now want to be successful and significant at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's not this, I want to go from success to significance. So you really do need to take the time to figure out, what do I want my legacy to be? What are my gifts and talents? But most importantly, what am I passionate about? What drives me? What gets me up every day? And turn your dreamer on. We have folks who go through our program that their dreamer is to, one's a sports fisherman, and he likes taking disabled children with them sports fishing. Others are pilots, and they do things for Angel Flight. So what is it that really turns you on from a dreaming standpoint, and how can you tie that into your area of focus and passion?
Do you worry about the millennial generation? I just read a poll on Fox and Friends recently, how they're the least patriotic of any of the generations. They don't feel that sense of pride. And I am a millennial, and I have, you know, a lot of friends that are doing great things, but I also have a lot of friends that are very self-absorbed, and they're not thinking about how can I give back. I have two brothers that serve in the Navy, and I commend every single person who gives up their life to help, you know, sacrifice for our own freedom. So we don't see that happening as much anymore.
Yeah, I see it a little bit mixed when I'm out speaking and doing interviews like this. I've been incredibly encouraged that the millennials are more eager to actually get engaged in the issues that really matter. So I do think there's a mix.
They have passion.
For sure.
You know, whether or not that the passion leads to anything positive in the end, you know, that's debatable at times. But you are right. They don't lack that passion.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I do think they want to make a difference. I know they want to make a difference right now. And they just don't stand on the sidelines. Good or bad, they get in to whatever they want to do as early as they possibly can. So I'm actually encouraged.
Mm-hmm. That's also the best way to make a difference in this country, is to have people that have been successful to use that money to give it back. You know, when you think about who would you rather, the government do it or individuals that are passionate about a cause, right? Yeah, and helping other people with that money. Who have been the best examples that you know of?
Well, I think when you look at Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and many, many others, you know, there is this burning desire deep down in our souls that we want to be significant. We want to make a difference. And I think it goes back to this idea of just making money and being successful ultimately will lead you to emptiness. There's more to life than that. And so those three pop into my head right away. But there's many, many others that are sharing their wealth, sharing their gifts and talents and abilities to make a difference, not only here in the United States, but around the world.
Mm-hmm. You think people can change their skill set at an older age? You think you can change directions? You know, we were talking about Sean Spicer. I mean, do you advise people, you know, at all ages, say, you know what, it's okay to have a new chapter and to do something completely different than you thought you were supposed to do?
Absolutely. Most people who go through the Halftime Institute come there and they fear at first that they're going to be shipped off to Africa. You know, that's the big fear. And of course, that happens from time to time, but very rarely does that happen. So, you know, what you have gifts and talents and ability. Sean Spicer is a very talented individual, and he will figure out at some point where he fits, where, you know, he can make an impact, where he ultimately finds joy, impact, and balance. But that takes time to do that. And he is in that season right now, would be my guess, of the smoldering discontent. What do I do next? So absolutely, as you get older, you can change your gifts. And
sometimes it takes a big moment in life.
Absolutely.
Good and bad, for you to take a step back and realize that a change needs to be made. Dean Niewolny, great to have you with us. Where can people find your book? It's Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference.
Yeah, you can go to two places, halftimeinstitute.org and tradeupbook.com.
Okay. Well, it's a great message for people of all ages and of all backgrounds, one that we need to hear today. Dean, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Abby. Appreciate it.
All right. More of the Brian Kilmeade Show is right after this.